Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to CNN's Don Lemon, who takes a few more questions backstage exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
This has been one of the most chaotic weeks of Donald Trump's presidency. Key aides are quitting or mired in scandal. The Russia probe is heating up, and the president is publicly attacking his own attorney general. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Even for the tumultuous Trump White House, this has been a head-spinning week. Not only is this White House awash in scandal with constant staff changes and turmoil, but on policy, the president himself keeps swinging wildly from one position to the next. Just take the issue of gun reform. Before Trump became president, Republicans spent 8 years issuing dire, apocalyptic warnings about President Obama's supposed desire to take everyone's guns away.
I am convinced that if this president could confiscate every gun in America, he would.
Your campaign posted on your website a menacing picture of President Obama, and the headline said, "Obama wants your guns." How is that anything but fear-mongering?
It is actually quite accurate. This is the most anti-gun president we've ever seen.
You know, the president's thinking about signing an executive order where he wants to take your guns away. You hear it this way. This is the new. Not going to happen.
Yeah, of course it's not going to happen, because it wasn't real. I love how Trump just makes stuff up and then assures his audience the thing he made up will never happen. What were his bedtime stories like? There's a monster under your bed and he wants to eat you, but don't worry, it won't happen. Except for you, Eric, he might eat you. I'm just kidding, in that Trump never told his kids bedtime stories. Yeah, I'm not gonna make it home. Comp their milk. So Republicans, including Trump, spent 8 years spinning unhinged fantasies about Obama trying to take people's guns away. And then yesterday, as Vice President Mike Pence was discussing the idea of gun violence restraining orders, Trump just blurted out the exact thing he falsely accused Obama of doing.
Allow due process so that no one's rights are trampled, but the ability to go to court, obtain an order, and then collect not only the firearms, but any weapons in the possession of that
individual.
Or might
take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system, because a lot of times by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process second.
Take the guns first. Republicans got their dream president, and now he's just blurting out their worst nightmares. We're like a week away from Trump driving up to the White House in a Prius, blasting the Hamilton soundtrack, and wearing a T-shirt that says hashtag resist. And while Trump swings wildly on policy, his White House keeps getting engulfed in new scandals seemingly on a daily basis. Just take the president's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner, who is already under fire for his business dealings, his lack of security clearance, and his inexperience. Last night, we learned that Kushner accepted $500 million in loans from companies after meeting with officials from those companies at the White House.
Early last year, a private equity billionaire started paying regular visits to the White House, Joshua Harris, a founder of Apollo Global Management. During that period, Mr. Harris met on multiple occasions with Jared Kushner.
In November, Apollo lent $184 million to Mr. Kushner's family real estate firm, Kushner Companies. An even larger loan came from Citigroup, which lent the firm and one of its partners $325 million. That loan was made in the spring of 2017, shortly after Mr. Kushner met in the White House with Citigroup's chief executive, Michael Corbat.
You know that thing when a friend asks you for money because he's in a jam and you decide, hey, he's your friend, you'll help him out. So you say, how much do you need? And he says, $500 million. And then you say, what the f*** did you do? That's Jared Kushner. Seriously, that is cartoonishly corrupt. How much more suspicious can Jared Kushner get? He took millions in loans from companies he met with in the White House, tried to set up a secret channel to talk to Russia, can't get a security clearance to complete a background check, and lurks ominously in the background of every White House photo like he's the ghost of a boy Trump killed with an errant tee shot.
Why didn't you say four? Is the ghost back?
So the big question now is this. Why does Jared Kushner still have a job in the White House? On top of everything else, his security clearance has been downgraded to such a low level that he's now incapable of doing anything.
President Trump's senior advisor and son-in-law now has reduced access to classified information after his security clearance was downgraded. Jared Kushner is authorized to access information only at the lower secret level.
Secret level are for people like the kitchen workers, the butlers, and the residents.
Also, secret level sounds like something you'd make up to tell a child. What's my security clearance? Your secret level? What's that? You can go in the kitchen. Okay, I'm gonna put my drawings up on the fridge. I'm secret level. So one of the president's closest confidants is on thin ice, while another close confidant, White House Communication Director Hope Hicks, has already resigned. Hicks abruptly quit yesterday, just a day after admitting to lawmakers in closed-door testimony that she told white lies for the president. Yet Republicans on the committee aren't mad about the lying itself. They're mad that Hicks' testimony got out, like Florida Congressman Tom Rooney, who last night called for the investigation to be shut down and complained that the question that got Hicks in trouble was too broad.
The question was, have you ever lied for the president? And which, as you know, is an extremely broad question. That could be like me telling a staffer to tell somebody that's calling me on the phone that I'm not here. That would be asking my staffer to lie for me.
Oh, come on, that's ridiculous. If someone called the White House asking for Trump and Hicks said he's not here right now, she'd be telling the truth. And of course, he's also been lashing out wildly at his own Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Trump has been furious at Sessions for recusing himself from the Russia investigation, which led to the appointment of Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Trump has also made it clear that he's upset Sessions won't prosecute his political opponents. And now, according to the Washington Post, Trump has privately come up with a new insult for his attorney general. Behind the scenes, Trump has derisively referred to Sessions as Mr. Magoo, a cartoon character who is elderly, myopic, and bumbling. I'm sorry, but Sessions is not Mr. Magoo. Mr. Magoo is an old, incompetent, rich guy who gets himself in trouble through ineptitude and short-sightedness, and yet through sheer luck and blind confidence, never seems to face any consequences. You the Magoo! Magoo. We're only a little more than a year into the Trump administration, and what we've already seen is truly staggering corruption. The president's wildly unqualified son-in-law is taking meetings in the White House that result in millions in private loans, while Trump publicly berates his own attorney general for not investigating his political opponents. And on top of that, the Russia investigation is getting closer and closer to the president himself. And if Trump does ever get indicted, I think I know what he'll say.
Oh, Magoo, you got it again.
This has been A Closer Look.
everyone. This is Amber Ruffin.
And Jenny Hagel.
From Late Night.
Oh my gosh, you guys. We're so excited to tell you that we are going to South by Southwest on behalf of the Late Night Podcast.
And we're going to have a great discussion with Joy Reid, our new best friend from MSNBC. It's going to be live on the podcast stage with TuneIn Live. Even if you aren't in Austin, it's also going to be live streamed on the TuneIn app on Sunday, March 11th at 5 p.m. Central.
Plus, our conversation with Joy, our very best friend, except for one another, will be released on the Late Night Podcast as well. So we hope you tune in.
Ryan Reese, audience forum community for Late Night with Seth Meyers, here with Patty from Connecticut, who just came from a live taping. This week, we've been covering a lot of the discussions surrounding gun control. Do you have an opinion on this issue?
I agree with gun control. Yes, I definitely do.
After the horrific Parkland shooting, students and gun control activists alike are lobbying companies and lawmakers for change. Do you think we'll see these efforts lead to real change?
I hope so. I really hope that we'll see change. I actually pulled my daughter out of school and am homeschooling her because I'm afraid. I don't want her to be in school.
You mentioned that you pulled your child out of school and you're homeschooling them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the president's plan to arm the teachers?
I don't think teachers should be armed. I don't think they're prepared for that. But I agree with his plan to put an officer in every school.
Thanks for joining us, Patty.
Journalist who anchors CNN Tonight, weeknights at 10 on CNN. Please welcome to the show, Don Lemon, everyone. Yeah.
Nice joint.
Thank you. It's not bad. Well, I know you do this. You do this every night. You don't have a live audience, so
well,
we wanted to.
I do. People at home watch.
That's true. That's true.
Yes,
but you don't hear them. You don't get to feed off them.
You don't have a live audience.
That's true. All right, you put me in my place. So I have to, first of all, happy birthday. It's
Thank
your birthday.
You. Thank you.
And
25 again.
25 again.
Yeah.
And not only are you spending your birthday with us, but then, of course, you're going to go and you're going to do your show live at 10 o'clock tonight for 2 hours. Is that the perfect way to spend a birthday, surrounded by a panel of people talking about what happens in the news every day?
As opposed to with Seth Meyers? Yes, it is. Actually, I thank you. I love what I do.
That's
great.
It's
a great way to spend my birthday. And what we're covering now is so important, so I can't imagine any other way, except for maybe with my partner or with my family.
Well, I think you do a great job.
Thank you.
I also want to just speak to the level of difficulty anyone who has to manage a panel has versus what I get to do, which is I have you here. You're the only person I have to talk to. It's very easy.
Right.
I don't have to finish talking to you and then say, and now you hate Don Lemon. So,
or someone is yelling at you behind you or in a satellite box or in your ear. Don't say that or
and
get
so,
to the
break. Exactly, because sometimes they're not even there. How much, I guess my question is, how much of it is that organizing in your head where you're going to go next and how you keep it all juggling in the air?
I try to be fair and not let people talk over each other or let other people talk too much, but I want it to be organic. A conversation, I try not to, ask canned questions. But it's tough. Sometimes I forget people's name, and I have to look at my card, the blue card, and go, wait a minute, that's Chris and not Rob,
right?
Sometimes I get it wrong. But
do you do a lot of like, hey, buddy, what about you?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's always, and what do you think?
Yeah, right.
But sometimes it's really easy because all you have to do is say, Seth.
Right.
And then just let someone talk.
Well, that's the other thing. I will say everyone on those panels, they're basically wind-up toys who are ready to go. If you turn it over to them, it's not. I've never seen anyone on the panel say, you know what, Don? I got nothing to say about this.
And when we do, we mark it because every once in a while we stump people. And they say, you know what? I really don't have an answer to that. So
now, one thing that we've been talking about on this show is it's this crazy thing that happens now, which Donald Trump will suggest something so far afield of conventional wisdom, and yet because he's the president, because it's the news, you actually have to have a panel and talk about this stuff.
Like we should have a rating system for movies?
Yeah, for movies. So he says that, and then, and then you have to go to and like say, like, what do you have to say about this totally nonsensical thing?
You talked about it, and I saw it with Paul Plitzer. It's crazy. And I try not to engage in that. And I will say, I do give a point of view on my show, which is interesting. I think people find interesting for CNN. I do give a point of view, and I'll say that's ridiculous. I mean, we can be fair, we can be open-minded, but we don't have to be stupid. But seriously.
I think that's very fair.
one issue was arming teachers. And, yeah. You know, I come from a long line of teachers, and none of them want to be armed in school.
Yeah.
Do we want security in school? Absolutely. But do you want your teacher? Do you want Coach Edwards to be armed? I don't think so.
My mom was a teacher, and if she ever had a gun, so many things would have had to go wrong.
You might not be here.
Yeah, exactly. What I also really enjoy about watching your show is not only do you have a point of view, but there are times where you cannot quite hide exactly as absurd you think things are. We've cut a little highlight reel.
I can be more presidential than any president that's ever held this office. That I can tell you.
This is CNN Tonight. Sorry, I'm Don Lemon.
I mean, listen, you... What is going on here?
I want to talk about the former White House aide, Omarosa Manigault Newman.
It's Black History Month. We got to talk about Omarosa. For us to talk about Omarosa, not during Black History Month, Don.
I've watched it a million times. Yeah. Every time, it's like the first time.
You know, obviously, it's really important, and I'm glad shows like yours try to do it, which is to have voices that, you know, support the Trump campaign. It would be silly not to let those voices be on TV, but there are times where Trump surrogates, I feel, don't express themselves honestly. They're supporting the president, but you know that if the camera stopped, they would express a different opinion. How do you handle that?
I just confront it head on. Yeah. Listen, I think that especially my show, which was a big panel show that he watches all the time, by the way, but I think we were sort of the canary in the coal mine, canaries in the coal mine, or the canary in the coal mine, because a lot of the people who either became surrogates for the campaign once he became the nominee or who were working in the White House were on my show as guests. And oftentimes they were supporting other people. And so I just see the absurdity of it. I know, you know, the history of the people, and I'll just say, come on, let's just be real.
Yes, and by that you mean that a lot of these people worked for other Republican candidates and spoke just as ill about Donald Trump as people on the left do now.
Yeah, absolutely, if not more so, because they were, I mean, vehemently against him until he clinched the nomination, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, this is our guy. He's great, and he is the moral leader, and he's going to do great for the country. And it's like, what about last week when you said he built his business on the backs of poor people? Like, how did that change all of a sudden? So, you know, I hit him with that.
I'm glad you did. Yeah. I'm very glad you did. You mentioned that he watches your show. That does seem he has definitely used social media to comment on your show. And have you heard from people close to the Trump administration that he's still actively watching?
Every time someone comes on, if they happen to work in Washington or at the White House or near the White House, they'll tell me the president watches you every night. If they're a surrogate and they go to the White House for some sort of meeting, they'll come back and say, you know, the president watches you every night. And I don't know if you saw my Twitter today, but Anthony Scaramucci wished me a happy birthday, by the way, and he says, you know, if someone calls you Sour Lemon, guess who came up with that nickname?
It's a really, really good nickname, so.
Yeah, this is a tough one to come up with, right? I've never been called that before.
He's not a second thought nickname guy. I want to ask, before you go, it feels like what happened in Parkland and what we're seeing from these students, it feels different watching it from where I'm sitting, but maybe, and I'm hopeful, maybe this time is different. Is covering it, has that been a different experience for
different.
You?
And I know, did you get your question out? But it is different. And I am so proud of these kids. I don't know if you guys are. I am extremely proud of them. They are a game changer. I hate that word when people say they're so articulate, but they really are.
Yeah.
And they're so knowledgeable. I'm like, you're going to take my job. I think they speak sometimes better than I do. And they understand issues in ways that I don't think that I would have at 17, 18 years old, some of them 16 years old. I do think that they're going to be a force in the midterms. I think whether it's legislatively or politically, they're going to make a huge difference. And I don't think that you should discount them. This time, we have these kids who are able to speak out about gun violence in ways that obviously that they couldn't do in Newtown because they were so young. And so I think it's going to be a big difference. I'm really proud of them.
Well, I hope you're right. And really, congratulations on what you're doing. It
and
seems exhausting, but you do such a great job. Thank you so much.
I love that you use me in the closer look.
Of course, anytime we can. Don Lemon, everybody. See you tonight. Airs weeknights at 10.
everybody. This is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Don Lemon from CNN. I always like asking news anchors on this podcast what their day is like. We've talked to many different people who broadcast at different times. It is 7:30 now. You have a show at 10 o'clock. What is 7:30 usually like for you Monday to Friday?
It's kind of the beginning of my day, sort of.
Yeah.
But even though it starts earlier, but this is sort of when I start getting into it, breathing in, deciding if we have to, you know, what's going to stay in, what's going to go. And usually I just sit there and wait till like 9 o'clock and then something breaks. And then my producer runs into my office and says, everything has changed.
Did your show used to start production and getting things organized much earlier in the day? And now you just have to do it later because you're so close to the, because the news will change closer to the show.
Well, we did pretty in the old days, pre-Trump, we had a show that was set and usually it would stay, you know, the way it was generally. And then, after this whole, you know, during the 2016 election, it just changed.
Right.
That all changed.
Right. Things, you have a lot of people on your panels. Things get kind of tense sometimes during during those conversations. What happens at commercial?
Usually the commercial is when we kind of laugh about it. Every once in a while, there's some tension between,
I can imagine, yeah,
between some of the guests. And but I usually try to diffuse it by either cracking a joke or talking to people about what they're wearing. Asking if you saw this on the internet or, you know, something like that, or talking to the guys in the studio. But usually it's pretty cordial. I mean, people get heated on television and we just sit there in the break and then they start it back up and we come out of the break.
What were your early reporting jobs like? Because you worked in local news for a long time.
Let's see. I actually started in New York City as a grunt, like putting mail in mailboxes, and entering stuff into the computer, going to get people's lunches and their dry cleaning. And so I started in New York, and then I wanted to be on air, and so I put my tape together, and then I moved all over the country, Birmingham, Alabama, Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta, St. Louis. So I worked in a lot of markets. I love watching local news when I go
You're watching local news in the green room?
I was watching local news because on you have NBC stations, and I worked for NBC O&O's, and so I was watching my old places that I worked.
Is it, or do you miss doing that kind of reporting?
No.
You don't. Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a grind, and you sometimes stand in front of places to be live for the sake of being live. Like something happened there, you know, 12 hours ago, and you're like, it happened in the building behind me. So I don't know. And I like national and international news.
You were telling me earlier about how you would kind of get ready for this.
But I do miss the pace of... There's a local news pacing that's like dun 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 dun, you know, and this and this and this, and then you know, the camera turn, and then such and such is live.
How do they announce your name?
I miss that pacing. This is NBC5 News at 5 with Don Lemon and Marion Brooks now live.
that's exciting. What's the CNN one?
Dun 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 dun. You know, and you do that whole thing. It's we don't really do that. We don't even say it's CNN tonight. I usually say this is CNN tonight. Right. I'm Don Lemon. And
we had that in the clip of you laughing through some Trump comments.
You have to laugh. You have to laugh. You have to find a sense of humor in all this. Otherwise, you'll lose it.
Yeah. Last question. I'll let you run because it's your birthday and you also have a job to do in a couple hours. can you tell me what you would do before live shots to warm up?
What? Live shots where?
In your local news days.
Oh, you want me to sing?
I do.
Lou Rawls?
You were doing this just before we started recording, and so I got to get this on the tape.
When I first started, like, the most unnerving thing, the most frightening thing you can do is a live shot when you've never done it, and you have someone saying, you have a minute 30 or whatever to tell this story, or you just got there on the scene, and we don't really have anything for you to say. Go. So I would just sing, you'll never find, doom, 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 doom. And someone like my camera guy would do the next line. And the people in the control room would do another line. And I'd say, all right. And I just sort of rock back and forth. And then about 30 seconds before the live shot, I would stop. And then I'd get my notes together and I'd go. And that would call me.
Look, it worked. You've done all right.
I guess so. Did it really?
Look where you are now. I think you've done okay. Happy birthday, and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Good luck on the show tonight.
Thank you. Absolutely.
The world will be very different in an hour and a half from now. So,
oh, yeah.
2.5 hours. So,
don't you know it. But you guys must have the same thing. Your show doesn't change?
The show does change. We're lucky. We're an hour. You're 2 hours. And politics is maybe the first half of the show, depending on the guest, if we talk politics with the guests. And, you know, Seth and our writers have talked about if a story breaks just before the show, maybe we'll get a joke into the monologue.
Right.
But if we got a little bit more time, hopefully we can work it into the closer look. But once the show starts, we're kind of locked down. That's not true for you.
All right, we got to get to the break. See what I did there?
Nicely done. You wrapped me. You wrapped me.
And I got to ask you questions and you answered.
I got wrapped by Don Lemon.
All right, I'm dropping the mic.
Mic's been dropped. Thanks, Don.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.